Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Stop Living in the Past. This week's message is a revelation by the Holy Spirit about our relationship to God and other people. In order to break loose from the past, you must first get out of the spiritual wheelchair. But Pastor John asks, how is it possible to break loose when you aren't even aware you're strapped down and spiritually handicapped? You see people every day who are bound by demons and enslaved by different things, and you know that Jesus came to set them free, but He also came to set you free. It is our prayer that you will have the discernment to see that you are in a spiritual wheelchair and that you will be motivated to seek change and destroy the remaining spiritual straps which the devil is using to hold you down. This message is entitled Part 5, The Spiritual Wheelchair. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on April the 18th, 2010. And I'm in my series called Stop Living in the Past. And today we're going to deal with the spiritual wheelchair. Let's stand and let's pray and then we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. That Lord, we can pray in this church. We can praise you. We're not on a time schedule. If we need more time, we have that time, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that we are not a 59-minute church where everything is done in 59 minutes. And Father, right now, open a word to us. Help us, Lord, to get today what you want us to hear. And I want to thank you and praise you for that now. In Jesus' name. And those who agreed and said, Amen. Joshua, can these be turned up a little bit? Thank you. There are three types of sermons you can preach. You can go online and actually buy sermons. Rick Warren sells them. Many others sell them. Or you can have books and look at books. Or you can simply ask God what to do. Normally, I ask God what to do, and He gives me scriptures, and I get a subject, and I work through the scriptures. But this message today is different, because this is a revelation message. It began last Sunday morning. I got up very early. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit woke me up, and He simply showed me the questions that we had on this outline. And so I got up. Didn't know on the computer, but I just write it down by hand. I wrote these questions down, and I said, now, what do I do with this? Monday morning came, and He woke me up again, and He showed me a spiritual wheelchair. And I got the rest of the information. I got up quickly, wrote that down, and Monday morning, I put these revelations together into this message, the spiritual wheelchair. Let me read this to you now. There are several hurdles to overcome as you attempt to leave the past and move into the present time. Each of these hurdles must be eliminated if you are going to be able to move into a victorious Christian living. The most difficult hurdle is getting out of your spiritual wheelchair. In Hebrews chapter 5, have you picked it up from verse number 11? And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, had become such that need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have a sense of exercise to discern both good and evil. Over the years, I have been called to people that are in a process of dying. And I don't know if you have been with someone that is, their days are numbered. You're down to maybe weeks or maybe 3 or 4 days. And when a person comes to the place of leaving this earth, you begin to think. And I'm talking about Christians now. And they're thinking, I'm going to meet God. My life is over on this planet. What am I going to bring to God? And I've been talking to some people. They played great golf games. They were wonderful bowlers. They had family things. They had a lot of different things. But suddenly you realize, as you're leaving this earth, what have you done for Jesus? What have you done for Jesus? You don't need to be old to think of these things. Because you have many young people. You can die at the age of 5 or 15 or 25 or 30. There's no age limit on death. And I want you today to hear this. Are you in a spiritual wheelchair? When I prepared this message, I thought, you know, I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm, you know, doing great. And then God showed me that there were certain emotions and hurts inside of me that strapped me to a wheelchair when I could not function properly and the way God wanted me to function. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. That's Ephesians, the second chapter. And we're going to pick it up in the first 3 verses there. But I'm going to read for my outline first. Christians are strapped into this spiritual wheelchair with cords of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, bad memories, failure, criticism, hopelessness, addictions of different kinds, nicotine, alcohol, drugs, and wounds and curses by others. Look upon that list. There is not a person here today or watching me that does not have one of these or several in your life. And you're strapped to a wheelchair. Spiritual wheelchair. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1, we read this. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before you and I came to Christ, we were dead in our sins. We were handicapped. One of the things that bugs me the most is not getting things done. I'm an achiever. I like performance. I like things to be done. And I hate to see things sitting year in and year out. Nothing is happening. And I realized, as I prepared this message, that this had created anger and bitterness in me. I was upset. I mean, my spirit was simply stirred. And you know, when you get this type of stuff, you don't notice it, but it's like somebody wraps something around you, and before you know it, you're bound, and you realize, I am bound. How did I get here? It took away my joy, everything else, and all I could think about and meditate upon is, it's not getting done. I got this stuff here and this stuff there. It's not getting done. And I was eating myself on the inside. And I realized this. We have to let things go. There are things that you and I cannot control outside of ourselves. And we simply have to give it to Jesus and to let them go and recognize that people are different. And that some people never will get off their duff, so to say, if I can use that term. Let me look at that list again there. The spiritual wheelchair. Have you ever seen someone in a wheelchair, you know, that's kind of wobbly? They tie them down. Straps. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Resentment, anger, bad memories, failure, criticism, hopelessness, addictions of different kinds, and wounds and curses by others. Probably offense is not a strap. And I'm sure that every one of us, you are offended every week. The question is, what do we do with offense? Do you give it to God, or do you get upset? Satan will always have somebody to offend you. I was reading in a paper, it was a huge church, about 1,000 people or so, on Hazel Avenue here in town in Orangevale. And they lost their building. They had a payment of $20,000 a month. On their mortgage. And they couldn't meet the mortgage. And I was thinking, you know, well, there, you know, I guess we're not the only one having problems. And then halfway in the article, it said, their problems began two things. Number one, they had a huge church split over the worship. They probably went contemporary. And when you go contemporary with all the hoopla they have, the people over 40 usually leaves, and they're the ones that have the money. And then the other thing was this, a lot of them got unemployed. So they had to leave the church. Church splits. Fights. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation, the third chapter. And when I read this applied to me. I thought, you know, I don't have any big problems this time. The majority of those sitting in a spiritual wheelchair are not even aware that they are handicapped. And thus, they're not even trying to get out from their wheelchair. If you don't know that you're handicapped, you're not going to get out of the chair. You're going to say, hey, you know, I'm doing fine. I'm just rolling down the road. You're not aware that you're handicapped. Listen to what Jesus said here in Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things as the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. Have you ever thought about that, that most people are kind of lukewarm? Have you ever had lukewarm chicken? Cold chicken is okay. Hot chicken is okay. But lukewarm is kind of, you know, not there. So then, because you're lukewarm, I need a cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's a pretty gross language. Jesus said, you know, I'm going to vomit you out. Because you're either cold or hot. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. That's a description of the church in America. I think that was a description of myself. And I think that we got to constantly watch ourselves that we're not being pushed down in a wheelchair. Because it's so easy to get in there. And so hard to get out. Let me take you to Matthew 7 now. These are familiar scriptures. God just put them together in different combinations. In Matthew chapter 7, and let me read to you from my outline. A Christian in a spiritual wheelchair will be able to perceive other Christians in their spiritual wheelchairs, but cannot discern it for himself. It's wonderful to be a pastor. I have people talk to me all the time. Have you seen so-and-so? Do you realize what he is doing? Do you know this is going on? And I says, really? Tell me more. And then I look upon the people. And they are pointing their fingers like this to everybody else. But I never had anyone yet call me up and say, Pastor, I have a spiritual problem. I'm battling pride. I'm battling bitterness. I don't get those calls. But for some reason, you and I can see everybody else's faults. Easy. But me, I'm perfect. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. We're not talking about sin here now per se. This is talking about judging one another's behavior. If we are living in sin, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we ought to judge. But this is personal judgment. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam or the log that is in your own eye? I didn't write that this morning. Jesus spoke that some 2,000 years ago. Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote or the speck out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? you hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. God has blessed this congregation. We've had miracle after miracle. People have been healed. Marriages have been put together. Families have been put together. Children to parents and parents to children. We've had all kind of great miracles here. But yet, I would say our church is in a spiritual wheelchair. There are some things that you and I need to address. And the question is, are we wanting to address them? I want to read the questions to you now. And you got to remember now, this is not what I put down. I wrote it down, but this is not what I thought out. This is from God, straight from the Holy Spirit. How is my personal relationship with my Heavenly Father? How is my personal relationship with my Heavenly Father? Today, we had a miracle up here behind this pulpit. I don't think that you caught this. Brother Vasily was up here praying. And God had broken him because he had never raised his hands before. And he raised his hands. He's going to be praising God with his hands up. That's a breakthrough. But how is your personal relationship with your Heavenly Father? I want you to go home today and tonight or this week and begin to answer these questions. What makes you different from unbelievers? If you walk down a street that are 200 other people there, do you stand out? Are you different? Ask yourself this question. Do I hold the same values as my Heavenly Father? When you go home today, look around in your place, apartment, the house, whatever you have. Look around in your things and say, is this where my Heavenly Father would be pleased with what I'm going and doing? Would you have to say, well, I don't know if he's interested or not? Do you hold the same value as my Heavenly Father? What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What is the value of God? God simply, God the Father, before the creation, talked with Jesus and the Holy Ghost and said, we're going to have a creation, but we're going to have a sin problem. And we're going to deal with that sin problem. And God the Father asked Jesus the Son, are you willing to be the sin problem? Are you willing to be the one that I will hit hard and judge so I can save these men and women? That's the value of God the Father. What is the interest of God? And what is the interest of me? Think about your life. What is interesting you? And what is interesting God? Do these meet? Are my goals the same as God's goals? Am I my goal in life the same as God's goal? Do I love what God loves? Do you love what God loves? What does God love? God loves sinners. Do we love these ungodly, miserable wretches? Did we give them the gospel? Does it mean we love their sins? Do I hate what God hates? God hates murder. God hates abortion. God hates drunkenness. God hates drug abuse. I told people several times, in California, particularly in California, here in the Mid Valley, Central Valley, if you take people today from about 30 to 50, most people, whites, 30 to 50, have been burned out. Meth, drugs. Look upon the masses of people, unemployed, destroyed, toothless really, burned out, a whole generation, destroyed. Do you hate the drugs? Do you hate that stuff? God hates it. Do I spend enough time with my Heavenly Father? You know, we got to have time to read the newspaper, watch the news, do all the important stuff. Do you have enough time to spend with your Heavenly Father? Am I working on the same thing that God is working on? If God is working over here, are you over there? Are you working on the same thing God is working on? We pray for revival. We pray for an awakening. Are we working on it? How do we work on it? Prayer and fasting. Am I doing my own thing? Are you? Are you doing your own program? There's a lot of people today. I read in China, they now have started some laws against using the internet. Not in the sense that they are censoring it, but too many young people are simply on the internet so much that they neglect everything else. They don't eat, they don't sleep, they're just playing games and doing things. Are you doing your own thing? Why should people be like me? Have you ever wondered that you walk around and you say, well, if everybody was just like me, you know, the world would be a better place. Really? Why should people be like you? Could you be able to say with the Apostle Paul, follow me, do what I do? What do I have to offer the world? Ask yourself that. What do you have? You know what you have? Time. The only thing you have is time. How do you spend your time? Are you offering your time to the world? You know, a lot of churches, I know people get impatient. We get a bunch of people up here to pray. And I can feel it in my spirit. People says, oh, I wish to just get it over with. Let's go. Take time to pray. Why should my Heavenly Father give me more money? Ask yourself that. Why should God give me more money? What would you do with it? Buy more stuff? Or would you simply say, I'm going to use this wisely? Who is going to inherit all my possessions when I leave this world? You ever thought about that? You're going to leave it all behind. Are you making preparation now? How your stuff is going to be handled? Because if you do not prepare things for your departure. You know who's going to handle it for you? The state. Am I at peace with my Heavenly Father? Ask that question. Are you really at peace with your Heavenly Father? Am I at peace with myself? Are you at peace with yourself? Can you say right now that if you were to leave to go and be with Jesus this morning, that I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with myself, I'm ready to go? Or would you say, no, I got things undone. We need to have peace. Do I love my Heavenly Father? That's a strong question. And I think a lot of us are simply fooling ourselves. Do you really love God? I found that most people, what I have met, they love God because what I can get. And to them, God is an ATM machine that you go to put your number in and to get your cash out when you need it. And when the ATM machine is broke, you curse it. Lousy bank, stupid machine. That's how we treat God. If you would lose your health this week, you will lose your job. You have no place to go and no place to be. Would you still say, my Heavenly Father, I love you with all my heart and mind and soul? Or would you simply say, I can't love you, God, look what happened to me. God wants you and I to come to the place that we love Him for who He is. Not for what He can give us. I'm sure that you have people, particularly smaller children, if you're grandparents or parents, and the children will come and say, you know what, I need this, I need that. And if you don't give it to them, they say, you don't love me. Yes, I do. And I'm sure that you have people that call you up. And they said, hi, how are you? And you know this, they're not interested in how you feel. They need something. So you cut through and said, okay, what do you need? And when they got it, they said, okay, see you later. They're not interested in you. Do you love your Heavenly Father? Do I love myself? Do you really love yourself? Can you say today, put your arms around yourself and say, I love myself. So many of us are hard on ourselves. I didn't finish this school. I didn't finish that job. I didn't finish this. I'm not done. I'm not this and that. I can't accept myself. And telling people this. Let's look upon a flower. These are real flowers here. They were given to us some time ago. I thought they were, artificial. I said, we don't need any more artificial flowers. They were real. Now, their job is to sit there and look pretty. That's it. Drink water, get the nourishment, and look pretty. That's their job. What's your job and my job? It's to simply say, my Heavenly Father, thank you that I exist. I'm your child. I want to give you my love. Shine. You don't have to do anything. Have you ever had a little 2-year-old baby, maybe 1 or 2 years old? And you pick that little baby up and you hugs you, hold you, and so on, and you put them away and say, you know what? You ain't pulling your weight. You're not working. All you do is eat. You're not helping out. I can't love you. Get a job. Is that how we deal with the babies? No. Even when they do things in their diapers, we still love them. You might go like this, change them, but you still love that little child. That's how God sees you and me. He loves us. Can you love yourself? And then another question was given to me some time back. I'm so blessed by my Heavenly Father. But what did I do to deserve this? And the answer is nothing. Whatever He gives us, we don't deserve it. If you and I were to get what we deserve, we'd be in jail. We would have water and bread 24 hours a day. And then the last one. Do I care that people are lost and will die in their sins? Do you dare to answer these questions? First, you should prayerfully consider each question and then answer them. Be totally honest and make sure that you do not lie to yourself. Write down your answers. And then approach someone that loves you and knows you best outside yourself. Ask them to answer the question how they see you and what they believe the answer is to every question. When you get up to the judgment seat of Christ, these are the questions and more that are going to be asked of you. And you're going to be standing there and saying, well, here's how I feel on this and this and that. Isn't it better to be able on this side of eternity to ask the questions and to fix anything that needs to be fixed? So when you come to heaven, you are ready. Then analyze the answers. Don't rush this, but look at the answers you and your friend have given and think about them. Are you happy with the answers? They will tell you how many straps are holding you down in your spiritual wheelchair. These questions that I just went through will tell you how many straps that you have. And then you will be able to deal with them. 10 lepers came to Jesus to be healed. They did not want to be healed so they could have fellowship with God. Let me read this slow. 10 lepers came to Jesus. They did not want to be healed so they could have fellowship with God. Rather, they only wanted their health back. One of them realized after they were healed that he wanted to thank God and draw closer to him. How about you? Turn to Luke 17. The Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 11, that's Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. 10 lepers. In those days, no medication for it. And when he, Jesus, saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. The priest was a health inspector at that day. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Can you see those 10 men walking and suddenly they realize, my fingers are whole, I don't have this and that, I can't walk, I'm healed. And they got excited for their healing. But they had no thought about Jesus. No thought. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was not even a Jew. He was one of his half-breeds. And Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And that is the question in heaven today. Where are the 9? Are you happy because you got a job right now? Are you happy because you got a place to live? Are you happy because you're married, you got children? Is that your happiness? Or is your happiness God? If your happiness is everything except God, you're going to lose it all. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. A question for the church now. Why should God send new people to us? Do we want new people because we need to increase our income? Or do we want them to come and be saved, healed, and loved by God through us? That's a good question. What is our answer? You know, when you need money badly, you're looking for it any place you can. But should that be our motive? To increase our membership here so that we be able to pay rent and we have no problems? Or should our motivation be that regardless of who people are, we want them to come in because we want to minister to them? Like I said before, we have 12 people working here that have jobs. The rest is either on Social Security or unemployed. You know, for some reason, we get more people that are unemployed or because people that are working have a lot of money, don't have need of God. If you really want to say this, God, I'm going to be honest. We like to have more people so we have more money. But God, I know the right answer is we want them so we can love them. We need a change in our heart. Because, you see, if you lost your job, you lost your home, you're on the street, would you still be able to say, I love God with all my heart? Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I know this is a different sermon today. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And let me read this to you from my outline. Are you sick and tired of being spiritually handicapped? If so, you are ready to take the next step and proclaim your healing. Here is the good news. Jesus has paid for the healing, and not only for your body, but also for your soul. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus has taken everything. He paid for our sins. He bore our sicknesses. He gave us a complete package to be healed. But we want to be healed. You know, for a long time I walked around, actually my spiritual wheelchair, bound over anger, bitterness, because things did not get done, stuck everywhere. And I realized that I was blocking God's love. Everyday nice things I was blocking because I was focusing on what I thought should be done. What's your focus? On the negative things, of the impossible things, which is focus on Jesus. Then Romans 12:2. And I want you to see the box there. That's a very, very important statement we're making there. It is a soul, not your body, that is bound in a spiritual wheelchair and needs to be healed. It's the soul. That's me. That's you. And we read in Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's what you and I need to do. Let go of the ugly things. Let go of conflict with other people. Simply let it go and say, God, you deal with it. Turn like a flower to the sun and receive the love of God and live your life victorious. If you're going to be watching everybody else, you're going to be miserable. I can have a victorious life devoid of what happened to other people. Let go. And be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. That you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A physical healing comes when our soul is healed. When your soul is healed, your body will heal automatically. But as long as the soul is sick, your body is not healed. Sickness is a spiritual disease, not a physical. Now, if you got mashed by a truck, that's a physical problem. I'm talking about sickness and disease. Forgiveness is the healing for your soul. Turn to Matthew 5 now. And this is where it gets nasty. I'm not about to forgive that person. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. This is what Jesus says. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, you should not kill. Whatsoever you should kill should be in danger of the judgment. But I said to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means you're useless, worthless, stupid, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say you're fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remembers that you brought his ought against you, leave there your gift before the altar, and go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Here's what Jesus is saying. Before you come to me with your offering, put it down. Make sure that you have no unforgiveness in your heart. What do you do if people are dead? You forgive them in your heart. What do you do if you can't reach the people? You forgive them in your heart and say, God, if I have a chance, I will speak to them. Look at verse number 14 now. Excuse me. I want to go to 6:14. 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father would also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let me try to give you an example. Let's talk about a husband and a wife. Us men are less careful. And, you know, dirty socks, you know, doesn't mean not a whole lot. And when we get a toothpaste tube, you know, we can squeeze it any way it wants. It can go all the sideways and so on. And here you have now a wife, very neat. She has a place where all the dirty clothes go. And everything is laid up just right, you know. And when you've been in there, it's a tornado. Towels all over, dirty clothes, wet, you know. Toothpaste look like it's been squeezed over, just laying there like it's dying. And then your wife comes in and she says, oh, no. Oh, no. And she gets so angry. How can I stand this slob I married? And now, over the years, bitterness is coming in. Anger. And then the husband get angry because he says, y'all was picking on me. Y'all was picking on me, picking on me. Why don't you stop picking on me? Well, when you get cleaned up, I won't pick on you here. And there you go. And then they go to church together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hi, Pastor. Yes, we are praising God. We are. Praise God. For if you forgive men the trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you want to get out of spiritual wheelchair, start with forgiveness. And then turn to Philippians 4:13. That's Philippians 4:13. And I'm going to do something right now. I'd like to illustrate my sermons. Philippians 4:13. Michael Burns, come on up here. No hesitation. This is my brother Michael Burns. And some time ago, he came to me about 2 weeks ago. And he said, I'm stuck. So we had a little talk. Now, what is your name, Michael?
My name is Michael Burns. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen. Now, I spoke that to you 2 weeks ago. Has that helped you?
Yes, it has helped me. Yes, I'm able to do things through Christ. And I can do everything and anything that I need to do. I am not having a problem. It's very powerful scripture.
Okay.
And I was stuck in an area of my life that was going nowhere spiritually. And I believe I've climbed out of that quagmire, and I actually feel better today than I have, and for the last 2 weeks I've felt better.
Praise God. So what's your name?
Michael Burns. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Love you.
Now, you need, as you sit in your wheelchair, to stand up, walk away from your spiritual wheelchair. Those of you that would like to walk away from a spiritual wheelchair, would you stand up? And now, say with me together, I can do all things, Christ. Let's read it better together. One, two, three. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. You may be seated. Now, that might seem like a silly exercise. But you see, when I talked to Michael Burns a couple of weeks ago, I asked God, I said, how do I help this guy? What do I tell him? He said, take him to that scripture and tell him over and over again to say that to whoever he meets, whatever he's at. And you know, he might be known as a guy who can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What a nice name. As you continue walking, proclaim the following truth. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Begin to proclaim that my God shall supply all my needs. Spiritual, financially, physically, health-wise, whatever it is, God will supply all your needs. Now, this is a how-to-do sermon hands-on. The question is now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to say, you know, somebody asked you Tuesday, were you in church Sunday? Yeah, what did he preach on? I don't remember what it was good, but I know it was good, but I can't remember a thing what he said. Or are you simply going to say, I'm going to do something about this? Look at the last page. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. We learned that week after week. But now God added another sentence. Have you made plans how to finish your life? Are you drifting? What kind of plans do you have? Have you made plans how you're going to end your life? I know people plan their funerals. Rich people plan their funerals. They're going to have a symphony orchestra there. They're going to have this and that, you know, elaborate stuff like the King or Queen of England. You know, they elaborately plan it out before they die. I don't care so much about my funeral. Whatever you guys want to do, that's fine with me. I'm not going to be there anyway. But I'm making plans how to finish my life. I'm making plans how I'm going to work up to the day when God takes me home. Then you guys can take care of the rest of it. Are you making plans? If you're a younger one, are you making plans how to do your studies? What to do, what kind of occasion you're going to have. Are you diligently working on, or are you just drifting? Do you have an ear to hear with? I want to close with Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Sorry about that, folks. Here's a bonus scripture for you. Matthew 7. If you pick it up in verse number 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? In your name have cast out devils, in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You have to be born again. That's number one. That's what this means, to be born again. But now verse number 24 is for us today. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, are you going to build a house like that? So when you are finishing your life, you can simply say, I finished, I'm victorious, I did it, I'm done. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. So verse 24, one more time. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I have given you the revelation that God gave me. I have taken care of my house, what I had to take care of. And I will continue to take care of a house to make sure that nothing is building up. What are you going to do? Now, musicians, let me talk to you for a second. Every time we have an invitation, you know, the musicians go straight to their instruments and the singers come up and sing. But I want to say this. If you have a need and you need to be prayed for, just go to one of the people that will pray for you and be ministered to. Don't be bashful. And we can open up the altars right now. And you must say, well, I need to be prayed for. But I don't want to go forward because I don't want people to think that I'm in a wheelchair. Pride. Big strap of pride. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm so proud of it. I can't go forward. Who cares what people think? Who cares? If God's been speaking today, when we give the invitation, you come and you tell people, pray for this and pray for that and help me. And if you've been watching us, you can call us, write us, pray. We will minister to you. Let's stand for prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave me this message a week ago. Father God, I thank you for what it did to me. And I ask you right now, my Heavenly Father, you will touch people here today. Lord, let there not be one proud person. Let there not be one intimidated. But Father God, let the altars be filled today with people saying, I want to cut loose. I want to get rid of all anything that's left behind. I don't want to be hindered at all. And if you are not in a spiritual wheelchair, pray for those others that God will set his people free today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Elders, deaconesses, come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fifth part in the series, Stop Living in the Past, and was entitled, The Spiritual Wheelchair. This week's message was a revelation by the Holy Spirit about our relationship to God and other people. In order to break loose from the past, you must first get out of the spiritual wheelchair. But Pastor John asked how it is possible to break loose when you aren't even aware that you're strapped down and spiritually handicapped. You see people every day who are bound by demons and enslaved by different things, and you know that Jesus came to set them free, but He also came to set you free. If you are sick and tired of being in the wheelchair, Pastor John showed how to get out of it with truths found in the Bible. It is our expectation that this message helped you to destroy the remaining spiritual straps which the devil is using to hold you down. Have you made plans on how to finish your life, or are you just drifting? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1234. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.